You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in this story about the miracle at the sheep gate. And we're looking at the book of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. John 5, 1 through 16. And follow along with me, if you would, please. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there a long time, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Let me stop there. Every year, it was a miracle in itself. An angel would come down, the waters would bubble up, and the sick people, paralyzed people, the folks that were there, basically lived there. It was their place to beg, to ask for alms, benevolence, and whoever got in the water first was healed. And so this man's saying, I can't get in the water. When Jesus said, "Do you want to be well?" I can't get in the water because someone beats me to get in, and they end up getting healed. And so I've been here 38 years. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went on his way and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him, and this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Let's pray today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house to worship you. We sing songs about you. We look to your word. We focus on you. I ask for a grace to communicate, to share this word. I pray that our faith would be built and that we would look to you as the answer for all of the circumstances of our life. We pray, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Lord, I pray I'll be a vessel by which your spirit would speak. We need you. I need you. I love you, Lord. And I pray blessing over our time together. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone would say amen. All right, John arranges his book, and we're walking through the book of John. He arranges his book around seven signs or seven miracles, and we've looked at a few of those so far. First, there was the turning of the water into wine, and then there was the royal official whose son was sick. And in both situations, Jesus intervenes. It's interesting to note this. When Jesus turned the water into wine, he took something common and his touch supernaturally made wine out of it. And so we look and we see rain and grapes make wine. But what Jesus did is he superseded time and caused a miracle to happen. So Jesus is Lord over time. And then there's this royal official, And his son is 20 miles away. And so Jesus tells him, go home because your son is healed. And what do we see? Jesus supersedes distance. He is Lord over distance. So he's Lord over time. He's Lord over distance. Today, here's what we're looking at. In this man's life, who has this incredible disability, he has this impossibility, and we find that Jesus supersedes our impossibilities. Amen? With God, all things are possible. So whatever the impossibility is, whether it be physically, spiritually, emotionally, or financially. Now, what makes this miracle different than the other two miracles we looked at is that Jesus initiates. This man didn't come to Jesus. This man wasn't working a system to try to get his attention. It's not like the lady with the issue of blood. She pursued him. This man's not crying out to get his attention. But rather, Jesus initiates with this man. Would you like to be made well? You know what? I love that. There are times I pursue God and I'm looking for his touch. But I'm thankful that he also pursues us. And in this story and in this message, and I believe to the church today, he's saying to all of us, what would you like me to do in your life? Today, what is it you need from God? God's giving an invitation to all of us through this passage of scripture. What would you like me to do? How can I help you? How can I make your life better? How can I change you? When you look through this passage, there's five things, five keys for seeing Jesus transform our life. And we walked through a couple of them. I'm going to hit these really hard, these first two, because we preached them last week. If you weren't here, you can go online and catch up with that message. But number one was this: admit that you have a need. When this man was there at the gate, Jesus said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made well? John chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. And what did the man do? He made an excuse. Jesus says, do you want to be well? Well, I can't. And so his excuse was really, I can't be healed. Jesus knew he had a need, and he knew he wanted to be healed. This man's a picture of all of us. He was disabled physically. We're all disabled spiritually. But for our life to be changed, we have to admit that we need help. And so it all starts with admit I have a need. Now, I'm not going to go into this, but briefly, if you want your marriage changed, you've got to admit I need some help. I need some coaching. I need the Lord to help me to control my tongue. I need to be kinder. I need to have the Holy Spirit working in my life. If you want the Lord to help you with your hurts and your habits and your hang-ups, you have to ask him. We talked about this, that the first step to recovery, the first step to salvation, the first step to healing, and the first step to provision is to say, I need help. And it's so hard for us to admit that we need help. Our pride gets in the way, and we want to take care of it ourselves. The church at Laodicea in Revelation, it says, because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And here's what the Lord says to this church. For you say, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing. Not realizing you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And so many times we think, I'm okay. When in reality, we really need help. And if we would just ask God. So it all starts with admitting. None of us receive Christ. None of us become a Christian till we admit we're a sinner. I need Jesus. I can't save myself. I don't have enough money to buy myself into heaven. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be able to talk myself into heaven when that day comes. I admit today, I need a Savior. Amen? So that's how we're saved. It's the first step of recovery in our Celebrate Recovery, or whether you're an Alcoholics Anonymous, is to admit I'm powerless. I need help. I can't do this. It's the first step to seeing our life changed, is to admit I have a need. It's the first step to seeing God transform us. Secondly, we talked about this just, and I'll allude to it for just a few moments here. Obedience is the key to the impossible. Obedience is the key. Jesus said this in John 5:8. Jesus said, get up, take up your bed, and walk. If you didn't know Jesus, you would think that's a cruel statement to a man who can't walk, hasn't walked, 38 years, been in that very same spot. But understand this, the words of Jesus contained miraculous power. The man says, I can't walk. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And he stood, picked up his bed, and walked. Here's the awesome thing about Jesus, is that he individualizes. He knows exactly what we need. And he individualizes the answer. He never does it the same way twice. It's amazing how he deals with all of our different problems and our different needs, and he gives us exactly. Sometimes he would say, stand up. Sometimes he would say, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Sometimes he would say, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. Sometimes he just spoke a word. But we all have different needs, we all have different problems, and God has the right answer for us. So, maybe you heard the story about a man who walked into the drugstore and asked the pharmacist, do you have anything to cure the hiccups? The pharmacist said, try aisle 3. So the man goes to aisle 3 and he's looking and he's going up and down. The pharmacist sneaks around behind him, yelled loudly, and gave him a karate chop across the neck. The man turned around and said, what are you doing? Why did you do that? The pharmacist said, I bet your hiccups are gone. The man said, I never had the hiccups. It's my wife that's out in the car. Well, your problems may not be like my problems, and my problems may not be like your problems. But here's what I know is true about every problem. With every command of Christ concerning our situation, now grab a hold of this. This is really important. This was a tweetable moment last week, and it is again today. With every command of Christ, there is power to obey. We may not be able to do it in ourselves, but by God's grace, he gives us grace and strength. God gives us the power to do the impossible. Luke chapter 1 tells us that with God, all things are possible. Nothing will be impossible with God. Matthew 19, but with God, all things are possible. Philippians tells us we can do all things through Christ. We always put the emphasis on all things, but really the emphasis is on Christ, who gives me the strength. Because as Christ followers, we're asked to do things, according to Scripture, that I don't have the ability to do. I don't have the ability to forgive. My human nature is to hang on, is to become resentful, is to get even or get ahead. But the Bible teaches that I need to forgive. And so if he gives me that command, how many understand he'll give us the grace to do it? It takes faith. It takes everything inside of us. But he gives us what we need. It's humanly impossible for me to love my enemies. But with God, by God's grace, He gives me the strength to do it. It takes faith. It takes faith. You must believe. You must speak His word, believe His word, and accept His word. Just like we're saved. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You accept it. How many understand we're saved by grace and it's through faith? Amen? Well, everything in life, we speak God's word, we must believe God's word, and we must accept God's word. See, here's the deal. When it comes to God's word, we leave too much on the table. I enjoy, at this stage of life, playing golf. There is one course that I have pretty much resolved that I will never play. And that is Augusta National, where they play the Masters. Now, I've played some pretty awesome courses, but that's an exclusive course. But let's say that somehow I not only got to play, but I became a member. And I told you, hey, there's any golfers in the house today? And I told you, listen, if you'll stop by the office, I've got a couple of vouchers. If you'll pick those up, all you got to do is call and set up a tee time and you can play. I've set this up so you can play Augusta National. Now, here's the deal. If you believed me, you'd go by the office, you'd pick up the vouchers, and you'd go play that exclusive course. If you didn't believe me, you wouldn't stop by, and you wouldn't pick them up, and those vouchers would lay there, and no one would use them, or someone else would use them. Well, it's the same with God's word. Either you believe God's word and the promises that God offers, and you speak them, and you claim them, and you accept them, or you say, I really don't. And guess what? The promise goes unclaimed. I'm afraid that too many people, when they get to heaven, are going to be filled with a sense of regret because they look back and they think of all that could have happened in their life if they would have just believed God's word, if they would have just accepted God's word. You will never, as a Christ follower, you will never accomplish the impossible until you attempt the impossible. Jesus told Peter, come on, walk to me. But it wasn't until Peter slung that leg out of the boat and put his foot down, and the Bible says, and he walked to Jesus. Now, of course, he got his eyes off Jesus, and he ended up sinking. Jesus saved him, but he walked on the water, and it wasn't until he put his foot down. And so if you're going to do the impossible, you have to attempt the impossible. Amen? All right, here it is, the third thing. This is awesome. Are you willing to leave your comfort zone? Are you willing to leave your comfort zone? This disabled man had been begging there for 38 years. Imagine that for a moment. What were you doing 38 years ago? Some of you weren't even born, but for some of us we were. And here's what I was doing. I was a junior in college, finishing up my junior year. Can you imagine being in the same spot for the last 38 years? Whatever you were doing 38 years ago, you were in that exact same spot right up until now. That's exactly what this man was doing. It was common in Jerusalem for disabled people to gather at the same location. That's where they would ask for alms. That's where they would receive benevolence. It was, in a sense, their welfare system. Ancient history and ancient literature tell us that there were protocols among beggars. And those with the highest seniority, those who'd been there the longest, got the best spot. So after 38 years, this man probably had a prime location at the Pool of Bethesda. And in one instance, Jesus tells him, stand up, take up your bed, and walk. And here's something I want you to grab a hold of. It was so important that Jesus said, not only stand up and walk, but stand up, take up your mat and walk. Because his mat represented his prime location. His mat represented that he was insured to be in the best spot possible. So by removing the mat, Jesus was literally telling him, leave your comfort zone. Many Bible scholars believe that's why Jesus asked him this question, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? Because as a disabled man, for 38 years, in that same spot, people coming by, he always had food, there was always benevolent gifts that were given to him. Even though he couldn't walk, he had a relatively easy life. And so, do you want to get out of your easy life? There's a lot of people today who don't want to leave their comfort zone. They have it easy. That's why they call it a comfort zone. Let me tell you something as a church this morning. As a church, we're at a point where there's two dangers that we have to be aware of. And the first danger is this. It is comfort. Comfort. Because comfort leads to complacency. And we're very comfortable here. God's done a lot of things these last 8 years. Monies have come, people have come, projects have happened. We have an incredible team, and with comfort, one problem or one danger, there's also with that self-sufficiency. We have a dream team of a staff. You know, I've never thought I was very smart, but there's one thing that I'm smart enough to do, and that's to put good people around me. And we have, week in and week out, we have the most amazing team, the dream team that you could ever think of. Now, I understand that there are bands and there are speakers and that they travel and they do that and they have their big moments and their albums and all of that, and they kind of blow in, blow up, and blow out. But I'm talking about week in and week out. Nitty gritty, every day, living life together. And when you have someone like Luke and Michelle, Matt and Paige, Philip and Jenny, Danny and Jesse, Tracy Linton, Lisa, now Brandon and Cora Bates, they got married last night, and Jonathan Crawford, when you have a team like that, it's easy just to become complacent. It's easy to become comfortable. It's easy to become self-sufficient, say, well, the professionals will do all the work. And if we aren't careful, because we do a lot in missions and we're able to be a generous church and bless our community, we'll be filled with pride. We can never leave ministry up to simply paid staff. And we can never just coast. We must always be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Here's my question today. Are you willing to leave your comfort zone? Are you willing to leave your comfort zone? Is there a godly urgency in your life? See, you'll never, as long as you feel comfortable with your life and your money, we're Americans and we think because, you know, we have money that we're okay. And especially living here in Pleasure Island in this beautiful place, we think I'm okay. And as long as we are in a comfort zone, you'll never take that step to receive Jesus Christ, to admit that you need him. As long as you're in a comfort zone, you'll never start tithing. You'll always be a stingy giver. Those words don't even go together, do they? As long as you're in your comfort zone, you'll never worship. As long as you're in your comfort zone, you'll never be free. As long as you're in your comfort zone, you'll never see the need to have daily Bible reading and prayer. You'll never see the need. You're in your comfort zone. You don't see the need that the world is lost and needs Jesus. You'll be happy to live your self-sufficient life. And what ends up happening, God forbid, it usually takes some kind of crisis before any of us ever see, I've got to do something beyond what I am doing. Perhaps you're here today and you're in that comfort zone. What is it going to take for you to ever step out? That man believed the word of Jesus so much that not only was he by faith standing up and walking, but he said, I'm leaving this place. This isn't home anymore. When you've lived somewhere 38 years, you're pretty happy there. It's hard to move. He changed addresses. He changed locations. Amen. Here's a fourth thing. I've got to land this thing. Our time is gone. But turn away or leave your past behind. John 5, 14, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you are well. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. Jesus found him in the temple. And he was telling people about what had happened. The question that Jesus asked him was, do you want to walk? Was not, do you want to walk? But it was, do you want to be well? And that word well literally means wholeness. The man was walking, carrying his mat. But now Jesus says, listen, here's what you need to know. See, you are well. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen. He was telling him how to be spiritually well. Sin no more. What does that mean? Well, first of all, know this. It doesn't mean that this man was sick because he had sinned. That was a common belief back then, and some people even today, that his sickness was a result of his sin. We're going to talk about that in John chapter 9 when the blind kid, the disciple said, was it his mom or his dad? Who sinned that this kid's blind? So Jesus was helping him to understand you were like this because you sinned. Here's another thing that he wanted to get across when he said, stop sinning or something worse will happen. What's worse than not being able to walk for 38 years? What is worse? Here's what Jesus was saying. Hell is worse. In fact, scripture shows us it's better to go to heaven, halt, lame, and blind, than to enter hell whole. And so he is saying your soul is what's important. Jesus never condemned sinners, but he never condoned sin. And his message was always to repent, always to turn. 180, repentance is 180. I'm walking this direction and I go this direction. It is a change. And then the third thing Jesus was telling him, you're no longer defined by your disabilities or your impossibilities, but he had a brand new life in front of him. For some today, you've got a brand new life, an opportunity for a new life. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. For some in this room, you're obsessing over your past. And for some, that's bad things. And for some, it's a good life that you're still trying to relive. But you need to step out of your past and step into your future. For some, you need to stop viewing yourself as a victim, but start viewing yourself as victorious. But you've got to turn away from your past. Any good farmer knows this, that when you're plowing or planting, you can't plant and be looking back. Your rows aren't going to be straight. When you're driving, there's a big glass in front of you and there's a little glass in front of you. And you focus more on the big glass. Oh, you always got to remember what's behind. We got to forget some things, but you kind of see where you've been. But you focus on the big thing. You have a future and a hope in Jesus. That's what's encouraging. That's the hope we have. And then finally this. Tell others. Tell others about this good news. Share the good news. John 5, it says, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. That's what religion tries to control you. I don't like religion. Religion crucified Jesus. I don't even like telling people I'm a religious person. I'm a Jesus person. I have a relationship with Jesus. Religion says to this man, you need to go lay back down. You shouldn't be walking. It's the Sabbath. He broke the rules. And so it's unlawful. But he answered them, the man who healed me. He said to me, take up your bed and walk. And they asked, who is it who said to you, take up in your bed and walk? Look at verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you are well, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Now watch this. Watch this. Jesus tells the man to stop sinning. The religious leader tells the man, you need to stop walking. But the man said, I'm not going to stop talking. Amen? I'm going to tell people what Jesus did for me. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the testimony? Man, when Stan talked about that tumor wrapped around his trachea and it's cancer and they're going to have to do surgery. The testimony, did you sense the life and the excitement inside of him when he got that phone call from Dr. Lee? You don't have to have surgery. It's not cancer. Can you imagine this man's testimony? 38 years I laid by that pool. But there was a man who came and he literally changed my life. I don't know why Jesus picked that man. I don't know why Jesus picked this country boy to be a part of his plan. I just want to say I'm like the lame man that's now walking. I'm like that man. I'm just glad he did. I'm thankful that he did. Here's what I believe. I believe that all of us in this room, Jesus is speaking to us. And for some of you, it's a tug in your heart. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never acknowledged it. You've thought it's for weak people. You thought Christians are weird and churches after your money, and you got all kinds of excuses as to why you never gave your life to Christ. But today, he's extending an invitation, and he's saying this, would you like to be well? Would you like to be whole? I believe to others in this room who have financial need or physical needs, he's extending an invitation. Would you like to be well? Would you like to be whole? Father, thank you. Your word's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. I thank you that you're faithful and good. I pray that you'd tug at our heart by your Spirit. Lord, our greatest need, the greatest need in this room, is for us to see how much we need you. And that if we're in that place where we go, I'm okay, that we're probably in more of a dangerous place than we realize. Lord, I pray today, I can't change people, but you can. I can't save people, but you can. I can't heal people, but you can. I can't provide for every financial need, but you can. And I pray your touch this day in Jesus' name.